Dr. Olver, Reel 2. You were describing your voyage across the channel in the...
Yes. We got to Portsmouth Harbour, and if I remember rightly, there was sort of a sandy beach at one end of it, and we were able to get our transport down onto that. And the landing craft managed to put its ramp down and discharged all the first wave of wounded stretcher bearers, which to ambulances waiting. So then we filled the lower part of the with our armoured cars and lorries. And we had to anchor, I think we were overnight going, because it was a slow convoy, because all the Mulberry caissons were there as well. So we anchored off Gold Beach, couldn't get in close, and this was when the pioneers had an extraordinary huge raft of timber and oil drums, which could accommodate about 8 to 10 vehicles, and was propelled by two outboard motors, one at each side, in charge of a pioneer sergeant and a few of those, with a little bell tent, their living quarters in one corner. And they chuffed up to us, anchored, we let down our ramp, and they managed to lock it onto it. And the sergeant just hand-signaled us one by one onto this. Had no edges at all. It was completely smooth, and he used to bring us right up to the edge of the water to get as many on it as he could. Then when we chugged to the beach, it couldn't run onto the beach with itself, so it had a little ramp which it let down in about 3 feet of sea water, and luckily, well, it wasn't luckily, it was arranged that all our vehicles were waterproofed beforehand, mainly than on the boat. A huge exhaust pipe right up above our head, and all the vulnerable parts of the engine covered over with some plastic material which looked like oiled plasticine, which meant you could only run the car for a few yards with this done. So we splashed into the water and made for the land, getting our bottoms wet, but apart from that, all right. And then as soon as we landed, all this plaster had to be removed straight away so that we could move inland.
Or you'd overheat, presumably.
Pardon?
Or the engine would overheat.
The engine would overheat, yes. Mm. There was a Lieutenant Colonel, a Beach Marshal, and he directed us to a breach in the sand dunes, which would be marked out with tape at each side, I think it was yellow tape, because it had been swept of mines. Of course, the beach had been cleared by the time we landed.
I was going to ask you whether you knew before landing where you were actually going to go once you got ashore.
Yes. No.
You didn't?
No. We didn't know. We simply knew the beach we were going on, but we weren't told anything.
How were you directed then to your headquarters location once you got ashore?
We were directed to our location by each side of the track marked with tape.
Yes.
Right to an assembly field, half a mile inland in there to begin with.
But how did you then get orders to go to your operational location from there, from the assembly field?
The order, Colonel Strangeway had landed by he had landed about the same time, and we got all our orders from him, and we were told map reference and which village we had to go to, which was on a French road, and we simply, after having a night in the assembly room, in the assembly field, we moved on to our virtually our permanent camp for Normandy.
Before you went over to Normandy, when you were preparing to go overseas in your field camp, were you aware of Arfors having any plans as such, any formal plans for what they were going to do when they got on the far side?
No idea at all. It was done directly from tactical headquarters. As soon as they wanted us, they called on us to go and do a job. And then as soon as it was over, to move back again. But we've no idea about it. I've pieced all this together since.
So you had no formal plans when you went to Normandy?
No, not at all.
Plans were made ad hoc, according to circumstance.
Well, each unit was trained to do special jobs. Mm. They knew exactly what they had to do. But it was just being told where to...
Where and when.
Where and when to do it. Mm. For instance, the signal section were all highly expert men in their own line. And so were the right scout car boys who did the broadcasting and the engineers who did their building.
Do you know where the scout car soldiers had come from? Had they been brought in from cavalry units or from other sources?
I don't know where they came from. There were the major in charge was a delightful Scot, but nearly all these men were volunteers for their special jobs beforehand. But they knew their job and went and did it and came back again.
You were permanently attached to the headquarters of our force. How was that organised?
We were all in the same camp, you see. Mm. And I was safe. I was fairly static there, except when I moved with a colonel up to see these various units in action. And it was only when we got into Brussels that I firmly became a member of the headquarters of our force then.
Well, how was the headquarters organised? What did it consist of?
Well, the headquarters were really just Colonel Strangeway, second in command, and about three other officers, and all the other units were either had lieutenant colonels or majors in charge of them.
What about your own staff? Did you have a staff of orderlies and stretcher bearers to help you?
No transport until the rear headquarters came across with the driver. That was just a little van, the smallest. I don't know whether they're Fords or not. And I had a medical orderly who I'd trained as a stretcher bearer in the Gloucesters. And I was allowed to pick a man there, so I picked somebody who wasn't married, and he came right through with me as far as Brussels.
How did the headquarters move? Did it have its own transport?
Yes, they had quite a few light armoured cars, and of course there was an enormous number of trucks as well as transport. There was no difficulty moving from place to place, because the men travelled in these trucks with all the equipment.
Yeah, so that's for the units, but for your headquarters, little headquarters group, what sort of transport did you have, Colonel Strangeways and yourself and the two IC?
Well, I had this van. Colonel Strangeway had a proper scout car, a light armoured car. I think he used that most of the time.
Did you have your own signal section at the headquarters?
Yes. The signal section was the one that did all this deception as well.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, within our force, there must have been a way of keeping in touch with the units when they went out into the field. Presumably, that was you had a signal section to keep in touch.
No, we hadn't. In the early stages, I don't know later, but we certainly haven't a radio connection with the units at the time.
You didn't have radio connection.
That's probably why the colonel and I, because it was in quite a confined space at this time, and it wasn't difficult to. Probably it was only a few miles, but it was nearly into enemy country.
So you had to go off to visit them to find to see what was going on.
See what was going on, and. We didn't want them to feel they were completely isolated, because they were virtually unarmed. We had rifles and the odd revolver. We had nothing else in the way of armaments at all.
How did you get on with arranging supply for them and rationing, things like that?
The tactical headquarters arranged this direct with us and kept in touch with us where we're about, and the mail and everything came straight to us from the Army Tactical Headquarters.
So you would have to act as the headquarters, act as postman then.
Yes, it hadn't to go through. It didn't go through all the lines of communication at all. It came direct to us. Which suited me splendidly, because nobody knew I existed. And all the time we were on the move and such like, I didn't get a single army bump at all. And it was arranged that if I wanted medical supplies, I got it from the nearest hospital, the base hospital. And when we were on the move with the Canadians, I got it from a Canadian unit.
But did you have any difficulty doing that, getting supplies from them?
No, it was all very well arranged.
You were near the tactical headquarters,
yes,
which was Montgomery's place of work. Yes. What do you remember about the tactical headquarters?
I could just see it was tented, and it was near the river Thurle where we were, and quite a small group. Tedder was there as well, and I never had any direct contact with it, because Colonel Strangeway did all the contact between it and us. He was there very, very often as the plans changed. He got them straight away and came back.
You mentioned also that you have an outpatients clinic to deal with children and well, local civilians.
Wartime, there are quite periods when there's nothing happening much, and then it flares up, and during the time that we were all in camp, the children were all around, and there were tremendous skin diseases and things, and so we had a clinic where they all came to see me in the camp, and they loved being painted with gentian violet.
What do you think had? Hang on, you're.
We used to all the barns and empty buildings in the village were absolutely crowded with refugees from Caen. They had straw on the floor and they were laid out in rows there, and I don't quite know how the food was going, but we used to go around and visit them and see if there were anybody desperately ill, and do what we could for them, and also odd farmers who got bits of shrapnel in their skin and such like used to come along, very, very stoical, for me to cut it out and stitch it up, and off they went back to their work again.
What had caused these skin diseases you mentioned?
Dirt mainly.
Dirt.
There were no washing facilities, and they had various eczemas and scabies and things like that. Most of them had their hair cut. There must have been a lot of lice about as well.
Looking at the, thinking back to the farmers who came to see you, the country people, were the farmers who came to see you in better condition than those from the town?
The town dwellers, the village dwellers, I've been living perfectly normal, well-fed lives. It was only the ones that had escaped from Caen who filled up the whole area.
Now, you said that they were in all the barns and buildings.
Yeah.
How were you accommodated?
We were all tented. We were all tented on the other side of the river. And the headquarters of the Canadian Division was in the orchard just beyond us.
So you were in that little stream valley between the village of Croy on its ridge, and then there's the Chateau Croyette.
Yeah, Croy was further upstream.
Yes.
And Tactical Headquarters was further downstream.
Stream, yes. Because there's a valley, isn't there?
Yes.
And then beyond the valley, towards the beach, there's a village of Crepon.
Yeah.
And you have the Chateau Croyette.
Yeah.
The valley and the stream, and then you go up the hill to the Chateau of Croy,
yeah,
on the skyline. Yeah. And you were in between the two.
Yes.
Yeah. You were under canvas, was it?
All under canvas, except in my case, they built me with tubular steel and tarpaulin and made quite a proper little first aid post with it.
From what you were saying, it sounds like you didn't actually get much business in your first aid post.
We didn't get, from the outlying places, hardly any casualties at all. One or two went back through the ordinary lines of communication. My main trouble were accidents in the camp itself.
What sort of accident?
We had quite a few enemies. Petrol, Calvados, flies, and certainly the other one. With Calvados, the men, as soldiers always do, swarming around, came across empty barns, empty farms, and in the cellars were barrels and barrels of what they thought was cider. And they immediately filled their tummies and their water bottles with this, and were knocked out almost at once until we managed to have a parade and get all the water bottles emptied and really tell them what they were up against. One man was absolutely unconscious for 24 hours. I kept him at my MI, at my outpatient, because if he'd gone to the hospital, he would have been put on the charge straight away, and he was a very useful man. So that was one thing we had. The next thing was that the standing rule was that all empty food tins should be put at the bottom of a deep pit and petrol poured over them and set fire to, and then covered over with soil. But a lot of stupid men, in spite of warning, looked down in the pit and didn't see any flames and poured another gallon of petrol on these scorching hot tins. And with a minute there was an explosion. We got to know what it meant, and there was a huge sheet of flames. And Tommy, with his uniform on fire, came charging across to us. So luckily we were by the riverside, and they were only 3 feet deep. We threw them straight into the river, held them there until it was all settled, then pulled them out and assessed their damage and sent them straight to hospital. Because there was no sanitation around all these barns, flies were absolutely black with flies in all these places. And they invaded our field kitchen. Luckily, a small hygiene section was camped near us, and I went to see them, and they gave me some horrible stuff called tanglefoot oil, which we, with a lot of wire, the lengths of wire, and we smeared these and hung them all in the kitchen, and flies collected there in their hundreds and stuck to it. That didn't, but the uncovered food was covered with them, and we got a bad attack of gastroenteritis. So the field hospital provided me with many huge Winchesters, huge bottles of clear linen morphia. And I had them all paraded, all the victims paraded, each with their spoon, and we doped out large doses to each of them, which was most successful. While we were doing this, one gormless man came along and stood in front of me and said, "Sir, my trouble is constipation." Which howls from all the men.
Did you also have difficulty in getting water supplies? Because with all these refugees and soldiers defecating in a small area, was there a risk of contamination?
No, we had we tested the water, and we had water purification tablets and such like. And very soon, tankers came across and provided us with water.
So it was shipped in from England?
Yes.
What sort of medical arrangements did the tactical headquarters have?
The headquarters themselves had no medical... Well, I had a huge hamper packed full of everything that was necessary.
So you could cover for the tactical headquarters?
But with a hospital, quite a fully staffed base hospital with nurses and everything, if there was any difficulty at all, we got them straight away to them.
Well,
so I really did a lot of first aid.
Were there any were there casualties and cases of sickness in the tactical headquarters that you can recall?
Didn't hear of any at all. The main thing was just the main trouble was just carelessness.
The four enemies of petrol, flies, and Calvados, and the fourth one you mentioned in your narrative is the Sten gun.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to think what the other one. When the rear headquarters came across, there were quite a few inexperienced young soldiers, and they'd all been armed with Sten guns, which, as you know, were mass-produced, very crude, but very effective at short range. And all our weapons had to get loaded the whole time, and these were loaded, and they used to hang them up by the strap on any projection around the structure. And if they were knocked off, they fell down on the ground, the shock of the butt fired it, and it began to jump up like a cracker, and sort of bounce about three or four times, firing into the air until it fell over on its side. And one man got a serious abdominal wound with this one of these youngsters, and another one after examining, I found he'd just been neatly circumcised, and that was all he had. They had to go to hospital, so we had to get them together and stop that as well. But all these things kept me quite busy.
You mentioned that a brigadier tried to visit the simulated Guards Armoured unit when you were in the... Did you happen to remember who he was?
No, I don't know who he was. I can't remember at all. I just saw him from a distance.
And he was sent away?
Yes, he was just told quietly and made to keep it a secret. And we'd no option but to do that. But any senior officer with those matters.
While the campaign was going on, did you have an idea of the general outline of events? What was happening?
Yes.
How did you get that? Was that from Colonel Strangeways?
Colonel Strangeways. And I'd taken a big map of it with me of Europe, and on occasions this was pinned up with where we were and where we were going next, which I still have, as a matter of fact.
So, did you have any foreknowledge of the American breakout in Operation Cobra?
No, we never knew until these things happened.
You mentioned that when the breakout came, you moved forward with the Canadian division. With the Canadian division.
Our breakout, yes.
Yes.
Yes, we all moved up together, and I was more or less attached to their convoy, because they provided me with an ambulance as well to come behind us. As we, of course, there was no deception required at all. And as we stayed at various towns for a rest, our signals and engineers helped to put the services back at work. And then a rear garrison came and took over, and we moved up. We moved on again, so leapfrogged up to Brussels.
Did you fall behind the main body of troops while you were doing this?
We were just behind. We had to halt time and time again with fighting further up the road. We followed them up.
Did you run into any parties of stray Germans at all on your way up to Brussels?
We saw large parties of prisoners with their hands on their head, marching, coming down in the opposite direction to rear prisoner of war camps, and escorted by resistance movement men, absolutely jubilant with their arms to the teeth. I think they were longing that some of them would try to escape. That was a big memory, because that was continually happening as we walked up. The other thing that horrified me were the roads lined with dead horses right the way up, because I didn't realise that, but all the German, in spite of their armour in the front, all the German supplies were horse-drawn. They simply replenished them from the farms and horses as they came down. But the Air Force, just seeing these